There will be spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers, so be careful, won't you?
Evil dead do 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 do, evil dead do 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 do, evil dead do 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 do, evil dead.
Sing along, Max.
I am.
Evil dead do 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 do, evil dead do 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 do, evil dead do 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 do.
Please can we stop?
Well, that sets the tone, don't it? Welcome to the last episode of Max Mike Movies series, Directors in Short Pants. Yeah, we've been taking a look at movie directors' first efforts, and this time around is no exception. Sam Raimi has made quite a lot of films, some good, some less good. Mm-hmm. He's got the Evil Dead franchise under his belt, as well as some Spider-Man movies, Darkman, The Quick and the Dead, and of course, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. But he had to start somewhere, and that somewhere was a film called It's Murder!
What?
That, of course, was never released, not officially. No, his first movie, as far as Hollywood is concerned, was The Evil Dead. And since it is that season, what better choice for our last entry in this series? Well, someone who might argue that point is our host, Max, who's laughing now, Levine. Give me some sugar, baby.
Ha ha!
That's the best you can do.
Ha ha!
Right.
Ha ha!
And I am the co to his host, Mike Klaatu Barada Loose. Before we start talking about the movie, let's let you talk about our
question.
We asked, what is your favorite martial arts movie, boxing included? You said these. Byron Ho answered, quote, Kung Fu Hustle because it's funny and the martial arts are over the top, end quote. I cannot agree more. If you haven't seen any of Stephen Chow's films, go look them up. They're lots of fun. Thanks, Byron. Kelly J. Cooper was next with, quote, I feel like I've said this before, so I apologize if I'm being repetitive. I love Wing Chun because it's one of the few female-centered kung fu movies that's also funny and fun with great fights.
Everybody Wing Chun tonight.
That's Wang Chung.
Oh, right.
Both Drunken Master with Jackie Chan and Any Which Way You Can with what? Clint Eastwood.
Oh, right, feature, with the orangutan.
Feature epic fights that tell a story within the story. Mm. I think all of the best fights do that. They tell their own story. Mm. Sometimes it's a condensed version of the story told by the movie, and sometimes it's its own thing, end quote. I'd have been amazed if no one had brought Jackie Chan into this.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kelly. Nick Hoffman wrote, quote, definitely Kung Fu Hustle. The adaptation of the Looney Tunes method was just priceless. The acting is magnificent, and it's weirdly touching at points, end quote. That's another for Stephen Chow. Thanks, Nick. Keith wrote, quote, probably Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. The aerial acrobatics are breathtaking, end quote. They were indeed.
True.
Thanks, Keith. As could be expected,
Dave
Macman had a lot to say. Quote, boxing counts? That doesn't help. List was too long from the start, and I will leave samurai movies out mostly. The Fighter is a favorite because great story and Boston accents. Million Dollar Baby for female boxing. Enter the Dragon because it opened my eyes to the genre and had just the right pacing, and I enjoyed Bolo. I liked early Jackie Chan. I can't remember whether I first saw was Wheels and Meals or Project X.
Ooh.
Samurai from Nowhere is one I might call a martial arts movie rather than a samurai movie, though it is both. It is also called Dojo Yuburi, and it has an open contest with weapons, so lots of different techniques and styles. Mm. For women martial artists, I suppose The Great Chase with Shinomi Itsuko. Not aware of any 21st century female martial artists who come anywhere close to Shiomi Itsuko for quality.
Huh.
High Kick Girl did not work for me. Yeah, I know how he feels about that. Though I think the star Rina Takeda might be worth watching in something with a better script and better cinematography. Hmm. She does actually have a nice high kick. That's what he meant. It wasn't a euphemism. For high end, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was beautiful, and I loved the period piece feel and cinematography.
Mm.
Want to watch it again and try to figure out whether there are any actual Crouching Tiger techniques, and if so, whether they are all that flat-footed or not.
Ooh.
Interesting. Mm. Mickey Rourke's pro wrestling movie was great, and I think there is a highly rated pro wrestling movie in theaters now. Then there is a whole genre of tough guy movies where you know that the actors are black belts, but the fighting is not focused on martial arts. Doberman Cop with Sonny Chiba is a favorite. Mm-hmm. I'm also partial to the Robin Hood on... I have to cut this out again. No, I know. We're live. No cutting.
Live.
That's right. I'm also partial to the Robin Hood on the bridge scene. That's what he wrote. With quarterstaffs.
Don't you worry. Never fear. Robin Hood will soon be here.
Continuing. Pretty sure they do that in the Errol... Do that within the Errol Flynn. Okay.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I know, but this is the way he wrote it. And for rapiers, I loved Gene Kelly and the Three Musketeers. End quote. Well... If you ever wanted a list of martial arts movies to start your collection, there you go.
Yep.
Thanks, Dave. Charles Forsyth commented, quote, my all-time favorite martial arts drama would be Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Yeah. Favorite martial arts comedy is Kung Fu Hustle.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite Jackie Chan is Drunken Master 2. Mm-hmm. The iconic factory fight scene is Peak Chan. In the films, Chan plays a fighter who masters a style called drunken boxing. It also turns out that he becomes way better at it when he is actually drunk. Kind of like if Popeye was an alcoholic, end quote. Chan and Chow, they're tops. Thanks, Charles. Over to the website where cold winds blow.
Whoosh, from whoosh, blow, blow.
Wow, I really have to get you replaced.
Good luck.
Where cold winds blow from the endless winter that is Canada, at least. That's what it says. At least that's what it says on the map I don't have. We got an answer from Vince. He posted, quote, Jackie Chan in First Strike has some amazing martial arts and stunt work. The latter scene is legendary, but Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon I really loved. I had seen Michelle Yeoh in earlier films in Chinatown, and Hidden Dragon was a giant step up with a larger budget and amazing, if not ridiculous, wire work that is just magical. Yeah. Magic. Michelle Yeoh could take a loaf of bread and I would watch it. Could fight a loaf of bread and I would watch it. End quote. Yes, Lo-Fu, you heard it here first.
Sounds thanks, like a Vince. Rather short movie, but sure.
Michelle Yeoh versus bread.
Is it like Earth versus Soup?
Very much. Oh, the mailbag is twitching, which can only mean another missive from our essayist down south, Bill O'Lading.
Bill O'Lading, Bill O'Lading.
Thank you. This one's a short one. Quote, sorry. The Matrix 1999 really stands out for me. Visually stunning and the martial arts really work with the story as opposed, he says, opposed the interrupting. Usually I have time to correct this. Yeah. I did not. To interrupting, I'm sure, is what he meant. End quote. I would not have thought of The Matrix. Yeah, thanks, Bill.
Interesting one. That's rather short. Bill, is everything all right? If you can't talk, just cough twice.
We wouldn't hear him. This is not that live.
That you know of.
Well, we must be down to the dateline. Hotline. Mm-hmm. That line only blinks red for you, Max. So wipe yourself
like the light in my heart.
Yeah, wipe yourself down and we'll hear what Doris Hempelmeyer has to
say.
I'll
get the baby oil.
Hello, Max Mike Movies. Hi, Max. This is Doris Hempelmeyer here to answer your poll question for the week, which just happens to be, what is your favorite martial arts movie? I'm not really big on these kind of movies, I have to be honest. So I'm going to give you a couple that are probably a little light on the kung fu part, but, you know, they count in my mind. The first one is Big Trouble in Little China. I just love that movie. It's kind of silly, but it's really fun. The other one is Kung Fu Panda. I mean, how do you not love a panda who does kung fu? Those are my answers. I hope you have a wonderful week. Well, I know you will, Max, because I'll see you later. Have a wonderful week, and we can't wait to hear the episode. Bye.
Wow. I really hate to say this, but those are both on my list as well. Big Trouble in Little China and Kung Fu Panda. Well, thanks, Dorothy. Stop drooling. I want to hear your answer to the burning, itching question.
I want to listen to Doris's again.
I'm sure you
slower.
Do. Uh-huh. What is your favorite martial arts film or films?
Well, in terms of like sheer fun, I do have to go with the with Kung Fu Hustle or Shaolin Soccer, the two of the Stephen Chow.
Yeah.
But in terms of like my favorite, it's Enter the Dragon.
Yeah.
That was just, that. Like Dave says, it was one of the ones that really introduced me to the fact that there could be good fights. In these, I remember most of those with the Shaw Brothers movies.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's all like you can hear them whacking sides of beef and slapping pieces of plywood together.
In Australia.
Yeah. That's right.
On a six types of kung fu.
Yeah. You Japanese got no business here with us Chinese.
actually one of my favorite parts about watching those.
It is a lot of fun. But also, that was the movie someone pointed out. People used to make fun of, oh yeah, Bruce Lee, he's not really an actor. Sure, he can fight. When he's fighting, that's when he starts to act. That's when all this incredible personal force comes across, all this emotion.
Yeah.
So I got to say Enter the Dragon. I think that's just the most powerful one for me. What about you? What's your number one?
I mean, it's kind of all of the above. I mean, my list does include Big Trouble in Little China, Kung Fu Panda, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Sure.
Police Story, actually, I really like for Jackie Chan. Oh, that's a good
one. Yep.
Kung Fu Hustle, Shaolin Soccer, Enter the Dragon. Mm-hmm. Which was the one? Oh, yeah. I actually have a very soft spot for Game of Death just because of the stupid scene where the guy's looking in the mirror and they have taped a picture of Bruce Lee on front of his face, because it's not Bruce Lee. Put ski goggles on some guy and figured we wouldn't notice. I mean, it was definitely Wood syndrome.
That does have, when he's fighting the three different styles, one after the other, that's an incredible fight scene, especially when he's fighting Wilt Chamberlain.
No, it's Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That's right.
Yeah.
No. His name is Roger Murdoch. See, it says right here, Roger Murdoch.
That's a deeper. Yep. Our entire episode on Airplane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
those are good.
That was a great question, Max, and even better answers. So thank you all for them.
Yes, you've given us answers, but we want more answers. See,
I know six tops of that. No, I know. Yeah. Since you're all so good at that question, how about tackling another one? Mm. We'd like to know what your favorite horror movie is and why. And if you don't like horror movies, what horror film frightened you the most? Let us know, keep Bumpy the Wonder Pony in hay and sweet feed, and he'll keep you in Bumpy Puck cereal, the only cereal fortified by horses. And it's so tasty, too. But enough of that, let's do this.
The facts.
The Evil Dead budget, $375,000.
That much?
That much. Sadly, as we all know, horror movies, especially independent ones, really make back their... Oh, dear lords, the take was $29.4
million. What?
Way to go, Sam.
God. Sam.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. Sometimes there's more truth in film than is comfortable. The rundown cabin in this movie wasn't just the set, it was also the housing for cast and crew. This apparently led to arguments, people getting sick, and because there was no running water, a distinct lack of showers.
Hey,
the budget was so tight.
How tight was it?
Thank you. So tight that star Bruce Campbell and longtime friend of Sam Raimi hawked his family's land in Michigan to not only guarantee the finish of the film, but the ability to blow the 16mm negative up to 35 so it could be shown in theaters.
Nice one, Bruce. Yeah. I'm guessing he got paid back.
He was made executive producer.
Nice.
Which is what usually happens when you throw money at a movie.
Yeah.
Sam found out the hard way. An opening scene shows the character partaking of the old Mary Jane.
Ooh,
when originally shot, they decided to just, you know, actually smoke some MJ.
What?
Oddly, that take was unusable due to the, you can guess.
They were smoking that jazz cabbage?
Jazz cabbage.
Yep.
Really?
That's okay. A real one.
Okay. This movie took quite a long time to complete, and in fact, a lot of the actors left it before it was fully finished. So the second half of the film mostly focuses on Bruce Campbell and the backs of random people standing in for the missing characters.
Oh, dear.
Which I believe we realized was called Fake Shemp.
Fake Shemp.
Yeah. Stunt shirts! Apparently, the mixture they were using for blood had a tendency to harden. At one point, Bruce Campbell tried to put his blood-soaked shirt back on, and it broke.
That's not supposed to happen.
No, that's not. That's a wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah. Shirts aren't supposed to break.
Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell met in high school and made many Super 8 movies. Bruce became the actor of the group, which included Raimi brother Ted, because Bruce was the handsome one.
Okay, sure.
The fireplace, which was not an original part of the cabin in this film, is the only part of that cabin that still exists. There's a time capsule buried beneath it, so if you're traipsing about the woods of Tennessee, you might just find it.
Ooh. Mm.
Germany apparently is tough on horror movies and wouldn't let the full uncut version of this film, made in 1982, I believe it's actually 1981, be released until 2001.
Oh, wow.
But it didn't stay on the market more than a year before it was seized again.
Ooh.
The German government finally relented in 2016. Because sure. This film is so shocking.
Yeah, and the German people are known for their overly sensitive natures and delicate constitutions.
Yeah, yeah. Sam Raimi was 20 when he made this movie.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It's a little baby.
While Bruce Campbell has been in most, if not all, of Sam Raimi's films, so has Campbell's nemesis, the green 1973 Oldsmobile Delta 88 that originally belonged to Raimi's dad. You might remember it from this film, the other two Evil Dead films, as well as being used as Uncle Ben's car from Spider-Man. Campbell has threatened to destroy this car many times, but Raimi has managed to keep it hidden. One of the reasons this film did so well was an endorsement from Stephen King.
Famous Tennessee author, sure.
Oh, no, he just liked the film.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hey, one of the editors on this film, Joel Coen of the Coen brothers.
Oh, jeez.
It paid off as the Coens got funding for their first film, Blood Simple, from Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell.
Nice.
There you go. There's actually a ton more stuff. I don't know if I've ever seen as much trivia. I didn't even get halfway through it. And I'm like, yeah, we have enough.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything else right now. Do you?
Not really, no. I mean, except to point out that this movie spawned a whole bunch of sequels.
Well, two.
No, there's the two sequels. Then there was the remake, Evil Dead Rises, Evil Dead Returns, and the TV series.
There was a TV series?
There was.
Oh. Hmm.
Also starring Bruce Campbell.
Well, I mean, he'd finished shooting Briscoe County Jr. at that point, so, you know, he was free.
Yep.
So I guess we'll get to the plot.
Let us do.
We have to remember, this is an 80s horror film.
Oh, yeah, so this plot is very involved, very nuanced.
It's not going to take me any time at all.
Multi-leveled.
Ash, Scott, Linda, Cheryl, and Shelley, honestly, I couldn't remember the name of the last character, decide to take a nice weekend away in a cottage in remote Tennessee. There's only one slight problem. It's haunted. It's a creepy place. They find remnants from a previous tenant who has left recordings of his finding in a book he claims is from ancient Sumeria. A book from ancient... Anyway. And details the rites of summoning and killing demons. Problem is, they don't ever actually die. Mm. All too soon, the forest is coming alive and raping one of the women because, of course, it's one of the women. Mm. Then she's possessed and starts attacking the others. They get her stashed in the basement just in time for another member to go nuts with the murderous demonic crazies. And then another. Soon, it's just Ash fighting for his life against the Evil Dead. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep.
The film.
Well, had you seen this before, Max? My usual question.
That's actually a trickier question. I saw the sequel.
Well,
it's not exactly a sequel. Evil Dead 2 is kind of...
It's just a remake of Evil Dead 1 with money.
Yeah, pretty much, with better effects and I think more than one actor. So,
well, there's five people. Well, quite honestly, there's a whole list of people, but almost all of them are listed as fake Shemp.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And luckily, of the principals, 4 out of 5 of them actually have photos on IMDb.
Oh, wow.
Always a sign of quality. So, you don't know if you've seen this before?
I think I saw parts of it, but it was back during a time when I tried to avoid horror movies on account of, you know, getting scared by them a lot. So, I don't think I watched the whole thing.
Oh, okay. I will admit, it is because they're basically the same film, although one's better than the other. There were parts in there I'm going, when are we going to get to this part? When are we going to get to this part? Oh, that's right. That's an Evil Dead too.
By the way, I do want to at least read the definition of what a fake Shemp is.
Why?
Because I've never heard it.
Oh, I thought I made it up for this.
No, it's a type of body double who appears in a film to replace another actor or person, usually when the original has died or is unable or unwilling to reprise their role.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder why Shemp.
Because they did that a lot in the old Three Stooges. There were a number of shots where Shemp was supposed to be in an episode, but he either wasn't there or hadn't there or was pissed off at being bumped out by Curly, and they just shot the back of his head.
Okay. Fake Shemp. Well, yeah. Now we've all learned something about Hollywood, haven't we?
Well, knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Shemp. All right, so let's go to the cast, shall we? There's at least one person in here that I have seen more than once. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, there's only one person I've seen here all in one. And that is Bruce Campbell.
The human chin.
The chin that roared.
That's right.
I want to say the first time I saw him was Evil Dead 2, which, again, is basically Evil Dead, but with more money.
First time I saw him, I didn't know who he was because it was at the end of Darkman.
Oh, right, right, right.
And I didn't realize, which is, I think, another Sam Raimi film.
It is a Sam Raimi film, yeah.
Other people in the theater were cheering, and I'm going, what's going on? Because that was the first Sam Raimi movie I ever saw. I didn't know that Bruce Campbell was in all his movies.
Yeah. So, yeah, so I'm in Evil Dead 2. I don't think I'd seen Evil Dead 1. And Evil Dead 2 is a lot of fun. And I'm sure I saw it on VHS. There was no way I saw it in the theater. But I definitely remember going to see Evil Dead 3 because I believe it was actually at the Fresh Pond.
Huh.
And they, let's see, the promotional materials weren't, shall we say, the highest quality. Mm. Somebody had literally taken a piece of notebook paper and written Army of Darkness and taped it above the door in the closet that
Class
it was playing.
All the way.
Yeah, because we saw that in the theater, so. But Bruce Campbell, he got his start here and with Sam Raimi and has done a few other things.
One or two.
I've got to say, for Bruce Campbell, he's pretty subdued.
He is. He is not as over the top. Toward the end, he starts to get there, but he's supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's much more, I wouldn't say subtle, but...
I don't think he was, in a way, he wasn't really much of a standout yet because he was just being another old-looking teenager in a slasher film because, you know...
Also, did you notice his voice was very different? I thought it was much higher and nerdier. I wonder if that was which way was he doing it? Did his voice just get more impressive as he got older, or was he intentionally playing that up in this?
I did not notice anything different in his voice really at all. So, I mean, Bruce Campbell, he will eventually become a fan favorite. I don't know that there's any evidence of that in this film. He's fine.
Oh yeah, I gotta say I have a lot of respect for Bruce Campbell.
He not only understands his place, but he never tries to rise above it. And he is always just Bruce Campbell, and he's fun. I actually liked him in Briscoe County Jr.
He was fun in the
very short-lived show with John Astin. Yep. I forget who else was in it, but it was sort of kind of steampunk.
It was kind of steampunk western.
Yeah.
And I would recommend his book, If Chins Could Kill.
Oh, yeah, I haven't read that, so... Then he shows up in like little bit parts here.
Oh, yeah. Sam Raimi puts him in everything he can. Yeah. I think it's very nice.
So, yeah, Bruce Campbell, everyone. Bruce Campbell. Ellen Sandweiss, as Cheryl.
She was there.
Well, no, to be fair, she's the first one that goes kind of crazy and scared, and I think she's perfectly fine for that role. I found the tree rape scene exceedingly uncomfortable, but that wasn't because of her. No. And then once you throw some makeup on her and she becomes the crazy demon lady, I think she's actually a lot of fun. Assuming it's her, it might be Shep.
It could be Shep, I don't know. I agree. When she's actually starting to chew the scenery, actually, that's when they all have fun.
Yeah.
It's the same time with the woman who plays, is it Linda? Who starts doing the giggling?
Yes, she's the girlfriend. Yeah, mm-hmm. of the chin.
Of the chin. Yeah.
Richard de Manicor or Manicor Manincor de Manincor. There's
sure.
Although in this film he's listed as Hal Delrich, which is quite honestly easier to say.
Yeah.
He is the member of the cast that does not have a photo on IMDb.
I can't think why. I don't understand why his career didn't skyrocket.
I mean, he's fine.
He's terrible.
How is he terrible?
Because he's so wooden and so cliche. He doesn't bring anything personal to the performance. It's like, okay, I'm the kind of dorky, the annoying frat boy. The way he forces his laughter.
I don't know. Having seen a lot of 80s horror films, I'm going to give him a fine. I really think he was fine. I didn't think he was bad. There's nothing to his character. We know nothing about any of these people, which quite honestly, in this case, kind of works. Because I thought he was fine. Max said he was fine minus, but whatever. Betsy Baker is Linda. She does a great, I don't know, female Joker is kind of almost what she's doing there.
She goes from very much the sort of standard, you know, I'm frightened, what's going on?
Yeah.
To,
she's obviously having fun.
She's too. Having a good time. Yeah. Well, I respect that.
We're not going to get huge amounts of depth. And then I guess the last member of the cast really is Teresa Tilly, although she went as Sarah York, and she played Shelley, who is, I would say, the least interesting of the three women.
Yeah.
She doesn't do
Isn't
that
Isn't she
much.
The one in the basement who gets locked in the basement?
No. That's Cheryl. She's the first Cheryl. One to go. Okay, she, went, okay. she got the tree.
Oh, yeah.
So she's the other, she's basically the third one. She's not the one who giggles all the time. She's not the one locked in the basement.
She's the other one. Okay. Yeah. She's the Larry of the Three Stooges. Okay.
Well, I mean, they didn't replace Larry. They only replaced Curly. But
no, because Larry was Curly. Fine.
Hate what you did there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we have five people in this film. And Pazuzu. It's not really a Pazuzu.
No, it isn't. I mean, it's sort of Cthulhu or somebody.
So they're fine. It's an 80s horror film. What do you expect? You expect a bunch of people to go do something stupid somewhere really far away where they can't get any help and get killed. And quite honestly, they all perform their task fine.
Try to leave. The battery's dead and we're out of gas, oil, and water.
Yeah, well, I mean, they didn't have any running water, although they pretended. Yeah, I did. One of the things I left out is the basement in this film is played by a stand-in. It's not even in the same state.
I was kind of surprised by how large and clean that basement looked for a cabin like that.
Well, the basement is quite obviously much larger than the cabin.
Yeah.
And when you see Evil Dead 2, it is also very obvious that the inside of the cabin is much bigger than the outside of the cabin, but that's okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, our cast shows up. They drive over a bridge, which basically has a sign that says, you're not getting back over this. I don't know why you're bothering. But and they arrive at the cabin that isn't terrible, but
it's run down. On the outside, it looks awful. Inside, it's fine.
Yeah, it's, although it is a weird mix of how are you getting power out here and a single clock that's still wound, along with, no, there's no water.
Yeah, nope.
So it's a typical horror film from the 1980s in that respect.
Yep.
So I know you don't particularly like horror films.
Not really.
What is the main reason that you don't like horror films?
When they have jump scares, I fall for them every time.
Yeah, me too.
Every single time. Yeah.
Did you fall for any in this film?
There weren't that many.
No.
Which I respect because a jump scare is cheap.
Yeah.
And it uses the music and it's just, it's annoying.
Yeah.
The one that I really hate is the mirror duck.
The mirror duck.
When someone is in a bathroom and they look in the mirror and everything's fine and they duck down, splash water on their face, their head comes up and there's something behind them.
I thought you meant there was a duck.
Worse, that's the worst part is if there's a duck behind them.
Yeah, I tend to fall for them.
I always fall. I'm always geek.
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't like it, and it stays with me. That's a problem. If I get really alarmed by a movie, I have trouble sleeping that night.
Mm. I will also say that horror in a lot of these cases doesn't seem to be something that either makes much sense or there's not enough background for the characters for you to care about them and stuff. And in some ways, that is very true of this film. Mm. We meet, literally, they drive up. We see these five people we don't know. We don't even know their names at this point.
It's actually hard to keep track of whose names up until the end, really.
Yeah, well, I did get Shelley right. That was her name. We do, so they drive up to this cabin, and of course we're all in the audience thinking the same thing. Well, this isn't going to turn out well.
Nope.
But they get right into it. We don't stop and we don't dally on anything. It's like, oh, too bad about our old professor so-and-so. You know, and none of that crap in the beginning. We drive right up to the cabin.
Yeah.
The name of the movie is Evil Dead. And within 10 minutes, they're rooting around and find this old Sumerian book.
Yeah, this strange Sumerian book that looks like it's been bound in plasticine or Play-Doh.
It's supposed to look like a human face.
It doesn't.
No. Which is also weird because I forgot that the book actually shows up in both of the sequels.
Yeah.
Although Evil Dead 2 is really Evil Dead 1, so whatever.
Yeah, and in that one, I think they call it the Necronomicon. They don't call it that in this.
No, but it's also painfully obvious that it was somebody's, like, hey, you know that guy who likes to just draw pictures in the margins of his notebook in science class?
Yeah.
We'll get him to do this.
Pretty much.
Yeah, ancient Sumerian evil,
huh?
Well, you know, they come across a conveniently left tape recorder with the plot of the movie. I mean, the evil being dictated.
Honestly, that was one of the biggest suspensions of disbelief for me. It's like, oh, you got magnetic tape down in a wet basement and the player works and the tape hasn't degraded. and the sound quality is perfect. Nope.
To be fair, you can actually leave that magnetic tape for a long time and it's fine.
Oh, I thought moisture wasn't good for them.
I mean, you don't want to get... No, so, I mean, it's magnetic tape. The water isn't going to do anything on its own, except you know what it does is it can grow mold.
Yeah.
And that can be a problem. I didn't... Because we didn't know how long it had been down there. It had been there...
Ruined the movie.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd say, though, that area was really pretty. It's fall in Tennessee. It's up in the hills.
It actually looks very nice.
Yeah, very pretty. However, we do have a problem, and that this happens occasionally, and that is film grain, because the film was shot in 16 and blown up to 30. Although some people can blow up to 35, and it's not bad. I mean, I don't think this was terrible.
They didn't really have the resources to do it, I think.
No. Though I remember when I saw Clerks in the theater, and it's like, wow, is it snowing inside that store 24?
That was obviously intentional, and it worked for that sort of movie.
Yeah.
This just makes it hard. Well, I'm wondering if they made it hard to see things intentionally so you couldn't see quite how cheesy the effects of the $375,000 budget were.
I actually thought this was one of the better lit horror movies of the time, and that was a problem. We'll get to the special effects in a minute. Yeah, but
boy, did they go through a lot of dry ice. My God, this is a foggy, foggy movie.
It's really bad when you're panning or zooming over it and you can see it bobbing in the water. Yeah, it's like, well, yeah. Did this group of people in any way remind you of a type of group of people?
Well, a little bit of a Scooby-Doo group, but it also reminded me of just your, like you say, the 80s horror group.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say is they weren't all archetypes.
In what respect?
That one of them wasn't the slutty girl. One of them wasn't the brain. One wasn't the jock.
No, sadly, none of them were the anything.
That's the thing. None of them really had enough personality, but they at least, they weren't that big of cliches.
Yeah. They actually kind of reminded me of First Level D&D Party.
Really? I didn't think they were anywhere near as competent as that.
Well, I mean, Bruce was. He lasted. It wasn't a TPK, but no, it was close.
True, true.
Yeah. So, yeah, we also get a little bit of something that Raimi will come to really magnify later on in not only his Evil Dead films, but a number of his other films. And that is some humor. They get to the cabin, and the main guy, Scott, who has booked this place, how, I don't know. But
yeah, from whom?
He gets out, and he's like, isn't this great? And he is the only person moving towards the cabin.
Yeah, they're all standing by the car like, oh, I don't think so.
Yeah, and it's actually kind of, it's a really funny moment. Also, they soon get in and everyone's having fun and they're having a little party there. And they do a close shot of somebody making what I'm guessing is a raspberry margarita in a blender. And it's like, well, that color looks familiar.
Yeah,
I
wonder if we're
going to be seeing anything more red anytime soon. So there's bits of humor throughout this. How do you feel that worked?
I think it worked better in his later films. I think it was a little roughly inserted here, but I always respect that. I like the fact that when they bring in humor into horror movies, and Raimi is a master of that, or became a master of that.
Yeah.
In this, you can see, of all of them, I have to say, this is one of the movies that really I look at and go, yeah, this is a first effort.
Yeah.
This is, he's just trying.
Really, more so than some of the other people we were?
Honestly, yeah.
Huh.
Because this one, the main problem I had with it, and this is not something I see in a lot of Raimi films, is the pacing was very slow at points. It dragged.
See, that's interesting, because my note on pacing was that, in general, it was well-paced, but I thought it went on a little
too
long.
That's the thing. I think the pacing between the scenes and the pacing of the dialogue and such was okay, but when he's trying to set up the tension, when someone's walking through a place, after a while, it's like, can you walk a little faster? Come on, geez, man, we got places to be.
Hey.
He took too long on a lot of them.
It wasn't a Roger Corman film.
It was not. We didn't see that much walking. That's true.
And, of course, if it had been an early Tom Cruise film, there would have been a lot of
running. But there wasn't enough room, really.
I liked the addition of humor. I actually, so the basic gist of this is, for some reason, the demons mostly just possess the women. They kind of possess Scott.
Kind of.
It's really only kind of. But they are really over the top.
Mm.
And I honestly thought that was a lot of fun. I liked the fact that the evil dead were just crazy. Like the giggling and all that stuff. It wasn't just people running up and down a hall chopping things or any stuff like that. I found it refreshing, quite honestly, having seen a lot of those 80s horror films. So I actually thought he could have gone further.
Yeah, I agree.
And he does in Evil Dead 2.
Yep.
Evil Dead 2 has some great lines in it. This is one point where the demon of whatever it is has possessed Bruce Campbell's hand, and he starts hitting himself with dishes and stuff, and it is some really good comedic pantomime acting.
It's great, a great physical comedy scene.
But then he finally just straps his own arm down, cuts off his own hand, and just screams, "Who's laughing now?" And I think that that's one of the things I like about Sam Raimi's horror films is that he just is willing to go as far over the top as he possibly can. Mm-hmm. If anything, this movie is a little bit held back.
Yeah, I don't think he had quite found his rhythm yet.
But no.
Again, I understand this is his first. He's not going to go crazy with it. He's obviously trying to make a real movie, a solid, you know, 80s horror movie.
Well, and a lot of the trivia I left out was basically how incredibly miserable it was to make this film. Everybody hated being a part of it. And very much the fake Shemp thing was because people were like, "We're done shooting. Not doing any more." So he would get the back of anybody's head or the makeup or whatever, and they could play Shemp. Uh-huh. I guess so. Now, the thing with these horror movies, I've found, I know you haven't watched as many as I have, is that there are, as you pointed out earlier, cliches.
Yeah.
There are
tropes,
themes, whatever.
Yeah.
But it always amazes me how many signs pass by without the principals finally just going, "You know what? No, we're out." Because, of course, we wouldn't have a movie, but still.
It reminds me of, you know, Eddie Murphy's bit about black people going into haunted houses.
Uh-huh.
White people, it says in the movies, Amityville Horror, they just buy the house. He said a black couple would go into a house like, "Whoa, this place is beautiful. Look at this. There's a room for all my stuff. We got a man cave down there. The school district is really terrific. You'd have your own office. Get out. Pity we can't take it."
I think for me, it would have been The Bridge.
Yeah, yeah, use at your own risk, 3-ton maximum, which that car.
It was the 70s, back when fuel was not plentiful, but
no.
Still, yeah.
But
there is that suspension of disbelief. It's sort of like when you're reading or watching private detective movies or shows or stuff where the main character is not a detective. It's like, how much are you willing to believe that an average person could just go and solve a crime?
Yeah.
And most people do it very well, and it's not even a question. But with horror movies, you're like, how dumb are they?
Yeah.
And I got to say, Cheryl basically is like, first thing that pops up, which to be fair is a pretty big thing, is we need to leave.
Yeah, we should go. And they're like, no, we're already here.
Yeah. Well, and we weren't raped by trees, so we're all having a good time.
Yeah, yeah.
Although I still kind of wonder, she's like, "I hear somebody outside. The best thing for me to do is go out alone without a flashlight or a weapon of any kind and go, who's out there? Who's out there?"
People in horror movies, especially the 80s, have an almost childlike faith in the power of a flashlight.
Or a shovel or anything else, really.
We're a comic doing that. Okay, what should I take? Flamethrower, rocket launcher, machine, flashlight.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that I think a lot of horror movie fans have just learned to overlook. Like, they're going to be dumb. I would never do that. Nobody I know would ever do that. But if, you know, we don't do that, we don't got no picture.
Yep.
So, yeah. There's one point where Sam Raimi does something that's generally a big no-no in Hollywood, and that's he allows the actors, or he didn't cut the actors, from looking straight into the camera.
Yeah, a bunch of them do that.
Do you think he meant anything by that?
I don't know. I think this was before he was starting to try to break the fourth wall like he does.
Yeah.
I think he just didn't have enough film to reshoot.
Yeah, it could be. I wasn't sure if that was like he was trying to imply that we were the evil or something deep. Like, probably not. Probably not. He did have some interesting framing and angles here. There's the stuff where early on Scott decides, "I'm going to be funny and go into the basement and hide and make my friends look for me, and then I'll jump out, haha." But there's a scene specifically of Bruce Campbell sticking his head over the trapdoor in the main floor of the basement. We get it right from underneath, and it's actually a pretty cool shot. Mm-hmm. There's some other cool shots in there as well. And he gets into the basement, he's looking around, and we get a full 360 of that basement that's in another state.
Yeah.
What did you notice, or what did you think of the cinematography in that respect?
I thought some of it was really good. I even think the opening, where we see the camera skimming across the waters of some river or lake,
yeah,
going past the chunks of dry ice, and the strange gas pockets boiling up from it, which I assume is where they dropped the large chunks of dry ice.
Either that, or it was one of the Raimi brothers farting under the water.
Entirely, or they were somehow in the bog of eternal stench, I'm not sure. Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of horror movie camera workers just set it up, spray the blood at the camera. He actually paid attention to where he was putting the camera. He paid attention to the angles. He was really good at giving making the cabin feel claustrophobic.
Yeah.
Which is remarkable, because if you actually go through it, that's a big-ass cabin.
Well, and we finally, at the very end of the film, we get a look. There's actually some outbuildings,
yeah,
which we didn't know. And one of the bedrooms was an add-on. So from the front, it looks like it is one room,
yeah,
like Abe Lincoln was raised here or something. Mm-hmm. And then we see later, oh, they've just been adding to it over the years.
Yeah.
One of the favorite things that he does is when you've got out in the woods, there's the camera kept very low to the ground, and it's going at really high speed towards stuff.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was very cool and very signature. Apparently, they literally strapped a camera to a 2x4, and Bruce and Sam ran through the woods, and that's how they took it.
Hey, it worked.
Yeah, I thought it worked really well. The lightning and the moon effects the moon will help us.
You had to say it.
Shall we say, of their time,
yeah, yeah,
and of their budget.
It's like, wow, that moon is enormous.
It really was. And they kept, like, blowing ink over it.
Yeah,
and
oh, it's being obscured by...
Evil.
Yes.
Yeah. So, some of those effects. We then, of course, get to... I mean, we were going to get to this anyway. The visual makeup effects.
Okay, you got to give them points for enthusiasm.
What do you mean by enthusiasm?
Because they don't hold back.
No,
they just, they don't like, oh, dribble blood or other fluids or strange. It's like Sam Peckinpah, arterial spurts.
Yeah. Well, there's also like apparently when the Evil Dead take over your friends,
yeah,
they become synthetic people like from Alien, and they spew out milk-colored stuff.
Yeah, that skim milk in their veins or some such.
Mm-mm.
And I mean, some of it is just... Look, some of it's terrible. It's really obvious. It's the I don't know what animal they think has that color blood, but it ain't nothing on this earth.
Yeah, that was a dairy creamer, red food coloring, Karo syrup, and a little tiny bit of blue food coloring. That's what that was.
Okay, yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very odd. But some of it... Like at the very end, when whoever it is exploding,
yeah,
and they're like arms coming out of them.
Yeah.
And this is just the death throes.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty imaginative, even if mostly it's just, at this point, it's like, oh, come on!
Yeah.
Enough already! I have seen so much latex everywhere.
I thought that the demon-possessed faces were not really good.
Mm-hmm.
They looked very much like your first stage makeup.
Yeah.
I don't mean movie makeup, I mean stage makeup, mm-hmm, which, you know, oh, you need to be able to see this from 100 feet away. So that didn't work. And for some reason, it is one of the better lit horror films I've seen, because the lights inside are fairly bright. You have white walls. And they basically said, well, the cabin just came with two Klieg lights stuck to the top of it, so I'm not even going to hide them. They're just there all the time.
Yeah, that's the wiring.
So, yeah, the effects are not great. Apparently, when getting advice for this film, one of the people behind the scenes, not even a part of the project itself, told Sam, hey, if you're going to make a horror film, just keep the blood flowing. And that's why we get the scene in the basement where there's literally a projector with blood dripping over the lens, and they're showing a screen with blood dripping. That was sort of a, hey, see, we're doing what you told us to do.
Yeah. I mean, those scenes are... That's where he kind of hit a couple of cliches. The scary basement, the film projector that turns itself on, the creepy record player that just starts playing weird sort of 20s dance music or some such.
Yeah. It was a gramophone,
But even there, the way he does the... the way the record player's needle moves over in that odd high-speed, kind of jerky, almost stop-motion way.
It was stop-motion.
It's very Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
And it's very stylized, and it's noticeable.
Yeah. Quick question. Did you find this movie scary at all?
I did not.
Okay.
I have, but some of that is I'm old and inured, and I've seen a lot worse.
Yeah. Did you find it creepy at all?
Yeah. Some of it, I think, was creepy. The trees, especially.
Well, let's get to that scene. So, let's face it, if you're a young woman and you're in an 80s horror film, probably a 90s or current horror film, too.
You're going to be sexually assaulted by something.
Right. I have to say, as objectionable as I found the scene, I thought it was actually very well done. The vines wrapping around her and stuff. It was very uncomfortable to watch.
It wasn't as graphic as I thought it was going to be.
No.
A lot of it is suggested, but it is incredibly disturbing because the way it's done, or the vulnerability, it's you can see yourself in that situation.
Right.
You know, in my case, face down, but...
Because the back of my head looks just like the front of Max's. That's why he can picture himself. Never mind. I don't even know what that... Yeah, I thought that was probably the most disturbing scene. After that, and it's a kind of a weird mix, because it's a very serious and upsetting scene. Not long after that, Cheryl goes crazy because the demon grabs her and they throw her in the basement and she's yelling out all sorts of stuff. And blah, 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 literally,
your mama so socks that smell.
And I think that's one of the times that I'm like, I wish you had gone all one way or all the other. You know, either you're going to do this seriously or we're going to have some over-the-top crazy hijinks. Luckily, those two scenes were far enough away that they didn't instantly clash.
Mm.
But I did think that, that the setting and that tone did
switch. I was also glad they didn't try to make that scene funny.
No.
There's no humor in that at all. It's just disturbing. That's another odd thing is... Until Cheryl is in the basement and, you know, going full-on demon, toward the end she tries to trick him into opening the basement by talking like she normally did and say, I'm your sister. And my response was, you are?
We don't find that out until way late.
It's like the last 15 minutes of the movie. We don't know that.
Well, not only that, but it's like, okay, it's two guys and their girlfriends. Mm-hmm. And his sister?
Yeah.
Who does that?
That's creepy.
Yeah. I wonder if they decided that later on. I don't know. But also, because it's a horror movie and it's the 80s, we get boobs.
Yep.
You know, and I'm not offended by boobs. It's just, if you're going to do it to the women, you should do it to the guys. I don't know.
We're talking about production value.
Your tits and ass.
Am I crying?
Oh, I should be. What did you think of the soundtrack?
The soundtrack, I thought, was effective, a little heavy-handed, but again, 80s horror movie, there are certain expectations.
Yeah.
And also, very clearly, as much public domain stuff as they could get their hands on.
I mean, I suppose the 78, I mean, that was the only actual song in the film.
Yeah. No, I thought it was pretty well done. It wasn't overly intrusive.
Yeah.
What about you?
I liked the soundtrack. It gave me the feeling like... John Carpenter, when he used to do his own. I guess he still does, technically. It felt very much like they'd made it, but it fit the film. There was a couple of times when it was like, da-na-na-na-na-na. Steve, is that you? But, you know, it's the 80s. It's 81.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, we haven't hit that magical date, whenever it was, when video rentals were a big thing, which is probably more like 85, 86, which is probably also one of the reasons they made so much money. But... Once you have that, that's when a lot of these themes and these tropes and these conventions of horror films would be done to death because people were making content. It's never going to make it into a theater. This is going straight to video, but so what?
They were just churning the stuff out. It was like the old Grindhouse movies.
Yeah, pretty much. And I, you know, one of my friends and I used to rent them all the time, and we saw some really bad horror films. Yeah. But part of the reasons I enjoyed the 80 ones was because they were usually... To that point where it's like, this is so dumb, it's funny.
Yeah.
So.
There was a lot of... You could see the effort. It wasn't dull. It wasn't, you know, their soul is too controlled.
Help me, Spock. Help me, Spock.
Yep.
Yeah, we just don't know anything about the people, so I don't know that I really cared about any of them.
And that... For a horror movie to really be effective, to be upsetting, you have to like at least somebody in it.
Yeah.
Ideally, a couple of people. That's why Carrie is so effective. I think so. Because, I mean, I think you feel sorry for Carrie. You feel, you feel things for her friends.
You hate her mother.
You hate her mother. You hate that horrible girl who's tormenting her. And you hate John Travolta because...
Well, why wouldn't you? Yeah, and, we'll see our entire episode on Carrie. I was not as impressed by Carrie. I know I think part of the reason was it was a product of its time.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, things have changed so much that you could do more. Not saying that you have to show stuff, but I think that there were things in that film that were sort of left to mood that would have been better shown or better written elsewise. But yeah, that's just my feeling on that one. So... I would say, too, that by not knowing that much about the characters, we also don't feel the need to spend that much time on the dubious history of the Pazuzu. I know it's not called Pazuzu. Yeah. But
we just watched Exorcist 2.
Yeah. Boy, is that boring.
That is such
a... There's nothing worse than a boring horror film.
That is the worst.
Yeah. So, anyway, this is not Evil Dead 2. I mean, this is not Exorcist 2. So, we have a book. The book is... bound in human skin, and within the book are the rules of how the evil works in this movie.
Yeah.
And we can't read them because if we could read them, then
we'd go mad.
But the evil starts pretty quickly, and it actually, its motivation basically is, I was sleeping, why did you wake me up?
Yeah, pretty much. Yep, the great old ones are grumpy after their nap.
Well, they haven't finished their nap, that's why they're grumpy. So... At least we sort of get to the action quickly. We don't delve too far into this research of these two characters that only one of which we hear his voice and neither of which we see in the film at all.
That's right. Yes, Professor Exposition.
Yeah. Part of me is like, it's bad enough when the movie introduces a character whose only purpose is to come in and tell you what's going on. But when you can't even afford that actor, you have to just record them off screen. And let's take bets. I don't know for sure who it was.
I think it was Sam. I think it was.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't know why it didn't bother me. And then we see pictures of demons and stuff. But it basically comes down to, they say, why did you disturb our slumber?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you're from ancient Sumeria, what are you doing in Tennessee?
Another good question. I also am curious, all the demons you see in the book, they look really interesting visually. We don't get any of that.
Well.
I know. It would have cost more. Yeah.
Yeah. There is a continuously rising tide of blood in this film. Juices.
Fluids.
Fluids, yeah.
Prancing fluids everywhere.
What did you think about the level of gore in this film compared to some other films?
Okay, compared to some other later films, it's pretty tame.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there are some where they just get out the fire hose. But for that, I guess for that era, it's kind of gross.
Mm.
I mean, I don't like that particularly. I don't like all the, spurt, pearl, blorp.
I don't mind the blood. I mind the internal organs. I mind the actual bones sticking out of things. And I really hate eyeball stuff. Not interested in that at all. There is literally near the end a point where they're tossing buckets of blood at the camera.
Yeah.
And Ash should be... This is a weird thing. I think this actually happens in Evil Dead 2 as well. There are points where Bruce Campbell is absolutely doused in blood, and then the next scene, he's not.
Yeah, somehow his face is clean or everything except like one smear on his cheek.
So we have some continuity issues in the film. One point where Scott's hair magically gets shorter. It's not a long shot, but it's plainly obvious. Oh, you shot this later.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
That's fine. So, there's some stop motion in the end that's not great.
Not terrific.
It's pretty obvious what's going on and how they did it.
Mm-hmm.
$375,000, though.
Mm. Yeah. I do have to say, when Ash figures out that he has to destroy the book,
right?
Which, yes, that is another cliche.
Yeah.
Although I do like the fact that he does destroy the book, and, spoiler, everything doesn't go back to wonderful.
No.
Everyone's still dead. He's still hurt. It's just the demons are gone.
Well, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, the animation of the book burning, all I could think of is, it's Mr. Bill's Necronomicon. Oh, no!
Mr. Hand's going to be mean to me. Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's Sluggo Cthulhu.
Yeah, it's... Quite honestly, it's not the worst I've seen from that era, really. Yeah. There's some real... There was this... Oh, my God. I can't remember the name of the film, but there was this demon named the Aylmer.
Be very quiet. I'm hunting souls.
It honestly looked like a latex version of Mr. Hanky the Christmas
Pooh. Oh!
And it talked in the sink, and it did a little Aylmer dance, and it was just... It honestly was... way worse than this.
Oh, dear.
So, there's problems with that kind of stuff, but it's, again, not... it's not worse than other stuff that was out there. Mm. But...
Yeah.
Speaking of not being worse than other stuff out there, I don't know. Get to the part where we decide all these flaws and all this time and all this little tiny bits of money, does that add up to a decent film or a good first effort or not? Mm.
The finish.
So, Max.
But, huh?
I know when you saw it. You saw it with me.
Yes, I did.
That was the first time ever. I'm not entirely sure.
Pretty sure.
I know you're not a horror film fan, mm-hmm. and probably have not watched that many anyway. You have seen Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness.
I have. I've seen more horror movies than you might think. I have a weird relationship with them. I like fantasy and science fiction movies, and there's a lot of overlap in between those and horror, so I'll try some of them sometimes. I just don't like them.
Mm.
A horror movie, I think it's actually not bad. Yeah. I say again, it's very much a first movie. You can tell. Sure. Sam Raimi hasn't found his stride yet. He hasn't his groove, but he was 20 years old. Yeah. I mean, he had a little ways to go. But this is surprisingly competent, especially for an 80s horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the acting is nothing to write home about. The Bruce Campbell's a lot of fun. And again, Bruce Campbell starts to get fun at the end.
Yeah.
Where he starts to go a little over the top, where he starts to get the whole little goody two shoes that we're going to see in the third movie. And that's when he gets fun. And that's when he shows up, you know, what he can do. But, I think it's okay. I don't think it's great, but... It's better than it has a right to be, quite honestly. What about you? Again, you've watched a lot more of these than I have.
Yeah, I can't even... I mean, I used to watch them every week. Mm-hmm. We'd watch a horror film. There is something about 70s, 80s horror. It's still clinging to that Hays Code innocence. Like, we can't really do what we want. So, isn't this scary? And let's all pretend it's scary. And then later, when things get... much more loose when it comes to stuff like that. Like, I've never wanted to see any of the Saw films
because
they look cruel.
That's torture porn.
Yeah. When you get to that level of stuff, that's when stuff's scary because it's way too graphic and way too, like, how did anybody think of this? There are some really unsettled people in the world.
I wouldn't even call it scary. It's gross and disturbing.
Yeah. So this is a film of the 80s that... Oh, there's evil. There's nothing in here that's believable. No. Nothing at all.
No.
Its own internal fantasy rule set isn't even set in stone yet. It's like, oh, well, these other people must have died too. They just apparently cleaned up after themselves after the demons killed them, and left all the stuff. Oh, and here's the Pazuzu knife, which doesn't really have any point to it. It's just around.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the Book of Evil, which none of us can read, although thankfully the guy has translated it and spoken it into the tape recorder so he can summon the Pazuzu and start this whole thing off.
Yep.
I found it, except near the, probably about the two-thirds mark, three-quarters mark, where it starts to sort of slow down, I found it oddly entertaining.
Okay, cool.
I wish he had gone for, quite honestly, I'm not going to recommend this film. And the reason I'm not going to recommend it is, do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
If you have any fun with these movies at all, go right to Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a better version of this movie.
Yeah, it's the same cabin.
Yeah.
It's the same woods. It's the same film.
Same Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, but he's much more over the top.
Yeah.
The horror and the humor are much more over the top, and it's a lot more fun.
And if I remember right, the pacing's better.
Yeah, it's got better lines in it. It is, I don't know why it's called Evil Dead 2, because I guess rentals? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Evil Dead 2 allowed him to do Army of Darkness, which, quite honestly, the whole idea of Army of Darkness is so ridiculous and over the top. Oh, what if Ash, having survived Evil Dead 2, was thrown back to welcome to medieval times?
Yeah, pretty much.
And, with the Delta 88, by the way.
Yeah, but you get some of those awesome lines, you know, What is it? Okay, you primitive screwheads, this is my boomstick!
And that's when he chops his hand off in the second film, and he attaches a chainsaw to it. But he also attaches a shotgun in Evil Dead 3. Evil Dead 2 and 3 are really a lot more fun. Mm-hmm. And like I think you said, he hadn't quite figured out where he could go and how far he could go.
Yeah.
That being said, good for him.
Yeah.
He did the thing. He basically said, I want to make something, and actually made it. He
only had killed his entire crew doing it.
But. And he only had one friend left when he was done. You know, there you go. And there are parts that, I have a soft spot for 80s horror, because again, it's not that bad. Late 70s, early 80s, like, people are like, oh, I could never watch Halloween. You could watch Halloween.
Yeah.
Halloween is not that frightening. What's it? Friday the 13th is not that frightening. The original, I actually really like the original Nightmare on Elm Street. I think it's a pretty, until the very end, where they do that thing that all horror films do. It's like, there could be another one. Like,
and there's going to be about 90 of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also, this film does not have one of the things that was central to a lot of these films, which is the recurring murderer character. This is just random possession and undead and, I guess, zombies.
Evil.
Yeah. So I appreciate that, because I kind of get tired of the, oh, it's back, or they're back, or he's back, because it's like, well, what's the point? If you can't kill it, eh. Mm. So, yeah, I would say, of its time, it's fine. It is not the best first film we've ever seen.
Mm.
But quite honestly, it's just go to Evil Dead 2. You're fine.
Yeah.
If you didn't see this, you're fine.
Yeah.
But what we're also fine about is your answers to our poll question.
Yes, yes. Give them to us.
And speaking of horror movies, we would like to know, what is your favorite horror film? Or, if you just don't like horror films, what movie made you decide, I don't like horror films? Either way is fine.
Mm-hmm.
The best way to answer us is to email us directly at us@maxmikemovies.com. You can also go to our website, maxmikemovies.com, where you will find all our episodes. Hey, use the search function. I know a couple of people have done that recently. They're like, oh, I wonder if they reviewed this film. Well, as this is episode 357, the chances are we probably have.
Very likely.
You can start there if you want to. But again, that's maxmikemovies.com. Leave a comment, answer the poll question, ideas for shows, movies that we missed, should have included, blah, 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 blah. Or even feedback for the show itself. We'd love to hear it. You can go to our social media accounts, which are on Blueski, Facebook, and Mastodon. Hey, does anybody out there use Mastodon? Neither Max or I do.
Well, I do for the show, but nobody's linked to us. No one.
So
it feels very empty out there.
Oddly, Max Mike Movies are our accounts in all those places. If you have a podcast app, or if they're thinking of making a new one, we are also Max Mike Movies. We show up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And lastly, if you would like to call us like real Julia Roberts, I miss her, you can call the number at 617-398-7266. Our number again is 617-398-7266. But we have come to the end of our extended series, Directors in Short Pants.
What was us?
I just suddenly realized, Max, have we decided on the name of the next...
I have.
Oh, good. Okay, good. So we have a new series coming up, and we have a first movie in that series, and that's going to be up to Max to decide. So, Max, what have you decided? What have you what have you decided?
Well, I've decided to go with our All Moose series.
We're not doing the Moose series. Yeah. I've told you three times.
Totally
we're
not do doing the Moose series. All right, fine. We'll save that for maybe episode 400.
But or never.
We are,
no.
Given the spooky time of year we are on, I am inspired. We're going to do the movies about Das Vampir, the vampire. But we're going to go a little bit, the less well-trodden paths.
I appreciate your pause there, assuming that I was going to edit that out, but I'm not going to. This is a live episode.
Oh, well, then. You can leave that in.
I always do.
Yes, you do.
So
it is going to be called, we are calling it, I Want to Watch Your Film.
I want to watch your film. So what is the, how is this different than the thing we did on Dracula that one time?
Well, that's all Dracula all the time. Yeah. We're doing some of the odder ones, some of the ones that I like to think are less traditional. And we're going to start off with one because I want to get it out of the way because it's one that makes me feel funny.
Oh, dear.
And it made me ask myself some very searching questions.
Like, what kind of dress should I wear to the cocktail party?
Pretty much. You know,
how about a nice floral print?
Does Tom Hiddleston's hair smell nice?
Tom Hiddleston? Since when is he a vampire?
Since Jim Jarmusch, of all people, put him in a movie called Only Lovers Left Alive, starring Tom Hiddleston and Tilda Swinton.
Loving Lovers Love?
Yes. Only Lovers Left Alive.
Okay.
We're going to check that out. And this is a vampire film. Love story.
Hmm.
Yep.
Well, I don't know how this is going to work because I never watch film.
We know. You only watch crap.
This has been a co-production of The Voice of Max and The Movie Wrench.